Let's go. Welcome on into the Auburn Daily Show, the Tuesday edition. The first show since spring practice for football has started. And luckily, editor-in-chief of auburndaily.com, Zach Blackerby, joining me, Lindsey Crosby, was at practice yesterday. And so has all of the best observations. If you want to see this in written form, auburndaily.com, we have a piece up. This obviously will have more detail because it's a freer format. And the place I want to start with you, Zach, is quarterbacks. That is obviously the nucleus that makes any offense run and what you have to have high-level performance from to win a national championship. What were your impressions of the quarterbacks, the four quarterbacks, because you have Robbie Ashford, Holden Gariner, TJ Finley, and Sawyer Pate. What were your impressions of those four quarterbacks during the practice viewing window yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like there was a divide between Robbie Ashford, TJ Finley, and then a gap. And then you had Holden Gariner and Sawyer Pate, which I think is a little disheartening. I think everybody's kind of rooting for Holden Gariner, not because they dislike Robbie Ashford, just because Holden Gariner, like, let's see him put it all together, because I think his upside is tremendous, as is Robbie's. And there's just this assumption, right, that TJ is not going to stick around after he graduates and he's able to grad transfer. So I expected to see more of Holden Gariner. I expected to talk to folks that were able to, you know, be a part of the entire practice afterwards and say that, you know, he was a big part of team drills. And that's not really what I heard. It sounded like it was all Robbie and TJ. It's the first practice, Lindsey. So, I mean, there's a lot of practices to go, and we'll see how all that develops over the next few weeks.
Did you, and on that note of the two kind of, I guess, veterans getting more reps than Gariner, did you seem to notice that the preferred groupings on day one of practice tilted towards the veterans? Could that kind of explain some of this, or was it something else, you think?
Yeah, I think it certainly could. I think it certainly could have tilted towards the veterans. And look, I think what I always look at isn't necessarily like, you know, they say, and Hugh Freeze said this to the media afterwards, like, there's no depth chart. I'm like, that's cool. But how you're grouped in certain situations and who they put you with, it matters, right? There may not be a depth chart, but there's a starting point. And if your starting point is higher than other people's, you know, it's going to benefit you. And so I always call them exchange drills, where it's a center, a quarterback, and a group of running backs. And Avery Jones, and we'll talk about offensive line in a second, but he was very impressive at center. He's Auburn's starting center right now. Will continue to be Auburn's starting center moving forward. But with him in these exchange groupings, it was him, Robbie Ashford, and then Jarquez Hunter, Damari Austin. That's the starting group, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you've got your starting center and the top two backs that we're all assuming, like, that's kind of the starting point there. And then the second grouping was Connor Liu at center with TJ, and then Batee and, sorry, I'm still learning some of these numbers, and Luke Rebels was the other running back there. And so it's like, okay, that's probably your second group. Then your third group was like Court Bradley, Holden Gariner, Sean Jackson, and Justin Jones. And so, like, that's probably your third group. So still, like, there's a pecking order that's there. Mm-hmm. As far as the order of the reps, it was consistently Robbie, TJ, Holden, and then talking to folks that were in practice for its entirety, talking about how Robbie and TJ split first team reps when it was all team. The media viewing window was all individual drills. And so we didn't get to really see the real juicy stuff, right, Lindsey? So, but talking to folks that were there for the entirety, it sounds like it was kind of a split between Robbie and TJ. And I was given positive remarks about both of those guys.
Yeah. And I know a lot of fans are, I'm going to say, frustrated maybe that TJ Finley is it's such a big part of spring practice.
He's polarizing, dude. He's polarizing.
Is.
And I'm not saying TJ's going to be the starter. I don't think TJ's here in 2 months, right? Like, that's just my opinion. I think he transfers. I would be shocked if he did it.
Yeah.
But
the point that I wanted to make real quick is Auburn can't, like, the worst thing you can do before spring practice after the transfer window is to dismiss a player from a team or kind of exclude them from this stuff. You need people, like, you need bodies to do reps. We saw this come up. Auburn lost an offensive lineman who is not participating in spring practice, no longer with the program. And it's something where would he have been on the roster next season? We don't know. But sure, there's no reason for the team to dismiss somebody right now because you only have four quarterbacks in the spring, with one of them being walk-on Sawyer Pate. You need people to hand the ball off to running backs. You need people to throw the ball to backups and walk. Like, you need as many options as possible. If you dismiss somebody now, you can't replace them until after spring practice. There's no benefit to your team of dismissing somebody now.
Yeah, the first part of the viewing window, I spent watching offensive line. I was kind of seeing what the pecking order there looked like. Then I walked over to quarterbacks, and they were throwing to pass catchers, wide receivers and tight ends. And the drill that they were running, it was two quarterbacks in at a time. And so it would be TJ and Robbie that were there, and they would both throw passes. There would be one guy running, they'd do it to the right, then to the left, and there'd be a guy running a shallow route and a guy running a deeper pattern, and they would both throw at the same time, right? Then they do it the other way. Then the other two quarterbacks would come in. Sawyer Pate. What's that?
It's entirely possible maybe you had TJ and Robbie together because TJ can just throw over Robbie's head because he's 6'7". Like, that's entirely possible. That's why your grouping is there.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned, but you need four quarterbacks just to run that specific drill. Like, an odd, you know, so you need that. You need that. And look, I'm not saying TJ's going to start, but like the way TJ practices, and we've talked about this before, TJ looks good in practice. Like, we said this last spring. We said it this past fall. And it's like, use TJ to make your roster better. And if he leaves you, he leaves you. Or if he's processed, he's processed. But there were several throws that I saw him make to Coy Moore and Amari Kelly, and I mean, several guys. He threw to a ton of dudes. And it's like, those reps are making those guys better. So don't be so quick to like just want TJ gone.
Yeah. And on the note of, you mentioned with quarterbacks and running backs both, that you could kind of see groupings. And so it almost functions as a depth chart. When you were watching some of those wide receivers and those tight ends in those passing drills, what was the breakdown of distribution there and the order that you saw guys coming up in?
Yeah. So the far left outside receiver situation, Camden Brown, Landon King to your far left, your slot receiver to your left was Javarius Johnson and Tarvarish Dawson. Your right slot receiver was Coy Moore and Jay Fair. And then your far right outside wide receiver was Nick Mardner and Malcolm Johnson Jr. And then you had other guys rotating in. Mm-hmm. And then your tight ends that were grouped together, it looked like it was Rivaldo Fairweather, who physically impressive. And then right behind him was Micah Riley-Ducker. And then the other grouping of tight ends, which I think are going to be more traditional inline tight ends, Luke Deal and Tyler Fromm, were kind of rotating in and out. So that's kind of what the distribution looked like as far as ones and twos. I think that's kind of your two deep across the board, Lindsay. Which none of that's surprising, right? I don't think any of that's surprising. And it kind of gives you a little bit of answers as far as how this staff views certain dudes. We talked about Coy Moore kind of being able to do both. Javarius Johnson has been asked to do both in the past. I kind of like them just in the slot because then it allows your bigger body guys on the outside. And look, there was talk on like, what are Camden Brown and Landon King able to play at the same time? Are they similar positions based on the very limited 20 minutes that we saw yesterday? They're kind of 1A and 1B on that left side, competing with Nick. And then on the other side, it's going to be like probably Nick Mardner or Malcolm Johnson Jr. But I think Nick Mardner, we'll have to see. But yeah, I think all of those guys physically look the part. They all ran smooth. I mean, it was a good looking drill. I think everybody kind of did their job. There were a few drops. I'm not going to like signal out anybody who had drops, but there were a few drops, more drops than you'd like to see. But once again, it's the first day of spring practice.
Yeah. So Malcolm Johnson Jr., you know, at 6'1", it's funny to think that, like, if you're looking at the outside receivers and the way that some of these guys are set up, that he might be, I guess, the smallest of those, because you have Cam Brown at 6'3", you have Landon King, I believe, is 6'4", 6'5", and then Nick Mardner at 6'6". And so I like the idea of this offense skewing a little more traditional when it comes to larger bodies on the outside who can go up and make contested catches, and then smaller, little more agile receivers in the slot that can do two-way releases and things like that. It kind of seems to be something where we saw a lot of, with Gus Malzahn, we saw a lot of, you'd have a smaller guy out wide and he's catching a lot of screens and short passes. And it feels like these groupings, if this is what ends up sticking, gives you a little more flexibility as far as a deep game. Guys, again, who can go up and catch a 50-50 ball, run down the field, things like that. I like that. And then with the tight ends, I think the big thing is seeing Rivaldo Fairweather already in with the ones, showing that he's probably going to be a big part of the offense because you do have experienced veterans in that room. And if you were sticking with veterans first in the groupings, you would think you'd have some, you know, a Luke Deal or a Tyler Fromm or somebody in there first, but Rivaldo Fairweather first. And I think I remember hearing that Rivaldo Fairweather had a pretty impressive catch on a ball.
Yeah, Holden Garner threw it. It was like a deep post or a flag. It was a deeper outbreaking route. And it looked like Holden threw it too high, and then that Fairweather jumped too early. But, like, he went up to jump and position himself for the catch. And, like, Lindsay, he just never, like, came back down. Like, he just stayed in the air. It was amazing. It was amazing. And just kind of seeing how he handles his body. And, like, he's – let's see. He's listed at 6'4", 209. But, like, the way he carries it, it's so lean because he's so stinking long. He's athletic. He can move really, really well, Lindsay.
Fairweather, 6'4", 251.
My bad. I'm looking at the wrong.
You said 209. I'm like, wait, that's a little light for a tight end.
Yep.
6'4", 251.
I slid down when I turned the page, and I was looking at Landon Kings.
There you go.
That's my bad. But, yeah, thank you for correcting me. But, yeah, he's just so long. He carries it so, so well. And so excited to see. And he's wearing 13. Like, you don't really see that with tight ends a whole lot. So it's like, is he a tight end? Is he a big receiver? But, yeah, he's definitely tight end. He's definitely tight end for sure.
Real quick, mention some of the numbers. He has 13. You know, it's a lower number. Camden Brown with a 4. Single digits makes you faster.
Beautiful. It's beautiful. It's like, all right, Tank, you've been gone 2 seconds. Give me your number now, please. He looks great in it. He looks really, really good.
Yeah. It's something I think the only thing that you would be faster at as a wide receiver would be number one. But that is for now, that is TJ Finley. Again, if he transfers, you can go give that to somebody faster in the fall. Okay. The big issue with Auburn's offense last year, and we've heard this directly from Hugh Freeze, was the quarterbacks. It's hard to evaluate what they did on film because they didn't have time to throw. What was some of the offensive line groupings? You've seen like three transfer linemen come in, three or four. What did it look like as far as the starting linemen in the first grouping yesterday?
Yeah, Avery Jones holding it down at center. Lindsay, I think he was the most physically impressive guy that we saw at practice yesterday. From left to right, it was Dylan Wade at left tackle, the Tulsa transfer. At left guard was Tate Johnson, the former center. Then at center was Avery Jones. At right guard, Cam Stutz. Then at right tackle, Gunnar Britton, who I just got a notification that Auburn football tweeted out happy birthday to Gunnar Britton. So happy birthday from Auburn Daily to you, Gunnar Britton. Thank you for coming to Auburn. But yeah, I mean, and just talking to folks after practice, there was talk amongst players that, like, that was the best offensive line that they've ever seen at practice. Folks that have been in the program for a minute talking about that. So that's encouraging. That's super, super encouraging. Sounds like it was a more physical practice, especially with it being soft shells, right? Not full pads. This offensive line, it sounds like they came off the ball. And especially once team drills were happening, it was 11-on-11. They did a lot of good on good, first team versus first team. And the offensive line didn't pull any punches, which is exactly what you want to hear if you're an Auburn fan.
Yeah. And so, you know, Tate Johnson at left guard, he obviously is from center last year. He was your third string center. Cam Stutz at right guard. Jeremiah Wright, is that something where he was unavailable, like medically? Was he in a different grouping?
Yeah, I think Jeremiah Wright will eventually start at left guard when it gets closer to time. Yep.
Okay. And so that kind of means, and this is all obviously projection. We've got 10 practices.
We're guessing.
Spring game, and then we've got 6 months until the season starts. But kind of thinking about, so that means your right guard spot could be Cam Stutz, could be Tate Johnson. I also am intrigued about the ability, somebody like an Xavien Miller who transferred in, if he could kick inside to guard, because your tackles seem to be pretty set in Wade and Britton. I did notice that we had those guys flipped. I assumed Britton was a left tackle. And a Wade was right, so they're around. But be interesting to see kind of what happens. Does Miller kick inside to guard? does Stutz or Johnson win that job. I think that'll probably be, I think it's safe to say as of now, that's probably the only real position battle that we have to watch for, is to see who's going to end up being the right guard in week one.
Yeah. And talking to folks, I think Cam Stutz is the favorite there. And it sounded like he had a good day yesterday. Granted, once again, can't stress this enough. It's early. It's the first day of practice and all of that. But it sounded like Cam Stutz had a good day. I asked about Xavier Miller to somebody who is very knowledgeable of the situation. Mm-hmm. And they said, maybe he's got a lot to work on. And I'm like, what does that mean? And they just said physically. He's just not quite there yet. Like, oh,
okay.
Interesting. You know, interesting.
JUCO transfer.
But you think about it. He's projected to be right tackle. And with Gunner there, I mean, Gunner's out of eligibility after this year. Dylan Wade is not. And so it's like, okay, maybe he's the direct backup to Gunner Britton at right tackle. And he's projected to be the guy at right tackle next season. So from a timeline standpoint, it kind of makes sense.
It absolutely does. And I think the biggest thing here that Auburn fans just want to hear about is that you're going to have better protection from this line. You're going to have more safety. And if you are trying to stay safe online, today's video is sponsored by our friends at NordVPN. Staying safe online is an ever-growing difficulty. You could be exploited by hackers. NordVPN gives you the ability to mask or change your IP address. It makes you harder to track. It secures your privacy. And so NordVPN is giving Auburn Daily listeners and readers a special deal. You can check out the link in the episode description today for NordVPN. They have both just the VPN and NordPass. I am somebody who has purchased a NordVPN subscription because I watch a lot of baseball. And it is the way that the baseball streaming is set up. Sometimes, depending on geographically where you are, you can't watch certain things. And with the help of NordVPN, I don't always have to let them know where I am. So I can make sure that I want to watch whatever game I want to watch. So nice. Again, Auburn Daily listeners and readers get a special deal. The link is in the episode description for NordVPN and for NordPass. Okay, Lindsey Crosby, baseball writer for auburndaily.com, joined by Zach Blackerby, founder, yes, editor-in-chief of auburndaily.com, also the host of Locked on Auburn. And you were at practice yesterday. We talked about the offense. I think that was the biggest conversation, but I am curious about the defense because you brought in a lot of beef on this defense, right? You brought in Mosiah Nikili-Kite. You brought in Lawrence Johnson, Justin Rogers, a lot of large men on the defense, like on that front. Who's playing where from your observations yesterday?
Yeah. So the depth chart on the defensive line, and we're talking about the three down linemen, not the jack. We'll get to the jack in a second. But looks like the starters, Jason Jones at nose, Marcus Harris, a defensive tackle, Jeffrey Imba getting reps as the first defensive end yesterday. And then the second grouping were the three guys you just mentioned, Justin Rogers, Lawrence Johnson, and Mosiah coming in at that end spot. And then the jack situation sounds like they split it 50-50 regarding, in the first rotation with Elijah McAllister and Dylan Brooks. And then after that, I think it was Brenton, the freshman from Opelika that stepped in. So I think that's what your defensive front's looking like as of yesterday.
Yeah, and that was something really interesting to me because you go out and you get guys like, I'm thinking about Justin Rogers, 6'3", 340, has been a true nose guard. But in this defense, you do need three distinct and almost separate roles on the defensive line. You do have that large nose tackle, the Rogers Jones kind of guy he is there to take on multiple blockers, to occupy those linemen, to free up everybody else. You have a traditional defensive tackle in a Marcus Harris.
Right.
And then you have Jeffrey Imba at defensive end. He has the size of a defensive tackle, but from everything I've heard, he's a little bit of a faster player. And so I find it interesting to think about a front of Jones, Imba, and Harris, and then you can turn around and you can put in a second line that could be quality-wise just as good as the starters and just as experienced. And if Auburn does more rotation this year, because they did not rotate at any position last year like they should have on defense, it feels like you're not going to really have a drop-off in production if you just do a hockey-style line change between plays versus what you've seen in the past.
Yeah, the only guy that seems significantly better than everybody else is Marcus Harris. I think everywhere else there's not this big drop-off. We'll see if Mbah takes that next step. Certainly, I think he has the ceiling to do that, and I think he's closer to that ceiling now than he was a year ago, which is certainly the goal. It's part of development. Yeah. But yeah, I'm with you. And that's why this coaching staff saw defensive tackle and defensive line as a need. And so they went out and got some dudes. And I think they're all going to play. I think, you know, you only can technically start three, but I think you're going to probably have six or seven guys that rotate in about the same amount. I don't think you're going to see like what we saw last year with Jason Jones playing 60, 70 snaps a game. I don't think you're going to see that, nor should we. And I don't think Jason wants that. I don't think any of these big guys want that. And so with Lawrence Johnson and Mosiah coming in and Justin Rogers, yeah, I think everybody's going to be in a much, much, much better situation on the defensive front.
That's fantastic. Now, getting back to the Jacks for a second, you mentioned Elijah McAllister and Dylan Brooks getting, I'm going to say, that first grouping. That we're going to call them first-team reps for the sake of this podcast, first-team reps. And then Brenton Williams coming in the second. That's a name we haven't talked a lot about for Brenton Williams. We've all kind of assumed that Keldrick Falk was going to be either the number two or number three in that room.
I think he will be.
Okay. This is probably something where Brenton Williams has been there, and it's one of those kind of deferring to...
I mean, he's a freshman. I think it's just the order that they went in.
Yeah. Okay. One of those, you have to remember, we can't read too much into some of this stuff in spring. It is a small window and things like that. When it comes to the actual linebackers themselves, not the Jacks, but the actual linebackers, I know that from what I've heard from other people, you didn't necessarily have the best viewing angles of these guys, but what was some of your impressions of the linebackers?
Yeah, I think DeMario Tolan's the most impressive one so far. Austin Keys is big. Robert Woodyard looks like a more developed player, which is great. Eugene Asante, I think, was one of the first guys in, which is fun to see. I like Eugene Asante's upside. I know some people are down on him. I like what he can offer as a player. I think he's pretty versatile. So we'll see. And then Wesley Steiner. And heard a lot of Jake LeVant. The more people I talked to, his name kept coming up. So it sounds like he got a lot of opportunity yesterday. The former walk-on, not sure if he's still on scholarship or not. I know Harson gave him a scholarship. We'll see if this staff honors that. With as much as he was playing yesterday, they may, you know, he may be an actual factor in all of this.
They may stick with it. Now, you are a big DB guy. You are very good at predicting and, you know, spotting talent in these DBs. What was your impression of the defensive backs yesterday and who was in what spot? Because we've had a lot of conversation on this show and on the website on Auburn Daily about how you figure out the glut of guys in that defensive backfield.
Yeah, I mean, it went chalk for the most part. I think the only thing that was surprising is in the outside corner group, one, Kay and Lee was there, you know, the star former Ohio State commit that Auburn flipped on early signing day. There was talk of like, okay, well, he physically kind of looks like an interior guy, like a nickel. Put him close to the line of scrimmage and see what happens in the middle of the field. But he was lining up with the outside corners, and the way that their order was through practice was Nehemiah Pritchett, DJ James, and then Kay and Lee, and then JD Rem. So I thought that was a little surprising. Yeah. But this staff really likes Kay and Lee, and there's a lot to like about what he does. So, they view him as an outside corner, which I think is great.
Yeah. And then obviously safeties, we know there's plenty of options as far as safety goes.
Right.
Was Jalen Simpson with the safeties still? Cause we had a lot of conversation about that switch being made last year when he moved from cornerback to safety and how he seemed to get significantly better.
It looks like he's a safety moving forward, which based on how we finished the year last year, I mean, that makes sense. That's what you want. Yeah, I mean, he looked really good to finish the year last year at safety.
And then I'm interested to see, and obviously we're not going to have this until
officially
after spring.
A cornerback, though, on Auburn's roster that they handed out yesterday.
Interesting. I'm very curious to see what happens. You bring in a lot of freshman defensive backs over the summer. I mean, you've got Terrence Love, J.C. Hart, Sylvester Smith, Colton Hood. you know, CJ Johnson. I'm curious to see how many of those guys line up outside, because it feels like you only really have, as far as outside corners, you only really have three or four, because you have Richard James, Rim, and Lee. And so it feels like you only have the four. I'm curious to see who else gets moved to that outside when you get all these freshmen on campus. But either way, never going to worry about defensive back play at Auburn, just because it just seems like that is kind of one of the core competencies of Auburn is developing defensive backs. So not too worried about it.
No, going into the spring, that was one of the deepest positions. In fact, I mean, it's almost an embarrassment of riches as far as, like, how do you get all these guys playing time? And then you got to always use your favorite thing to say, depth will always work itself out. And it will. It certainly will.
Certainly will. Zach, how can people follow more of your coverage of fall of spring practice, as well as everything else that you're up to right now?
Yeah, auburndaily.com. And obviously this show drops every single day, as well as Locked On Auburn, wherever you get your podcasts, and on YouTube.
Yep. I'm on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. Obviously, we're a ton of Auburn baseball going on right now, so that's a big part of my focus there. All of that writing, auburndaily.com. But I also do host Locked On MLB Prospects, wherever you get your podcast, and on YouTube. We're in the middle of spring training. Dropped a great episode this morning where we just overreacted to the small sample sizes from spring training games over the weekend.
Nice.
So stay tuned here on this feed. More shows all week talking about spring practice. Until tomorrow's show, this has been the Auburn Daily Show.